determined effort to become Krishna conscious. Generally, everyone has desire. And here it mentions, for those who are in the Vana and Ashram system, the Vedic system, generally the desires are Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. For the Kshatriyas, their goal is to perform dharmic activities. They hear from the Brahmins what Dharma is, and they actually perform them. Brahmins are rather lazy. They usually don't do anything except for chanting some mantras sometimes and taking some prasad. Other than that, they're quite lazy. They don't do very much. They just read the books, say a few words, and get a few donations. But the Kshatriyas are very active, and they understand Dharma from the Brahmins. And generally the Vaishyas, they want to accumulate. Even they won't even gratify their senses. People are working hard, they're multi-billionaires, and they eat one piece of toast a day, because what they really want is more and more material gain. They take pleasure, not from eating, but just looking at their bank balance. And the Shudras, they just want to gratify their senses. If it doesn't move, they eat it. If it's rather level, they sleep on it. Everyone looks beautiful. And they're always fearful that someone's going to steal their 5 cents. So that's called Shudra. And for the Brahmins, they're interested in moksha. They know the material world is a place of misery. They're not really interested in working very hard to accomplish something that's going to disappear very shortly, and therefore they want liberation, especially from misery, from ignorance. They want knowledge. This is the 4 kinds of pious people who approach Krishna. Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Jana Sukhitina Arjuna Arte Jignasya Artarati Jnani Chavaratarshiva. Generally, most people approach Krishna at the beginning, they're lamenting, oh, I'm suffering, help me, my mind, that's, they chant Hare Krishna, my mind, Hare Krishna, my mind, my mind, Krishna, Krishna. They're suffering, they approach the authorities, my mind, help me. And they hear, alright, just follow 4 regular principles. They think 4 regular principles, that's a little too much. What about 3.5? But if they agree to follow 4 regular principles, then at least externally, then some of their suffering goes away. Because in the material world, our desire to gratify their our senses, the 4 pillars of sense gratification, illicit sex, gambling, speculation, meat eating, and intoxication. So one agrees to follow these principles and so much misery goes away. Still we're lamenting, then one laments after some time, oh, I'm too strict, I'm following 4 principles, you know, let me do something so that there's some excuse I can follow 3 of them. No meat, no fish, no eggs. So in that way, one struggles. If one is a Shudra, he has very little understanding what he's really doing. He's approached Krishna to mitigate his distress. When his distress goes away a little bit, then he thinks, now it's time to enjoy. My heart is pure, and now I've learned the technique of enjoying. Now I can do it, and I won't succumb to stress. And he goes out, tries to enjoy the material energy again, and gets twice as distressed as before, comes running back to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, save me, save me. But until one actually understands something about pious activity, and of course, in current society, there's hardly any pious activity. They won't even help little old ladies across the street anymore. What to speak of any other pious activity? a little old lady is having a hard time crossing the street, they push her. Not across the street. They just push her out of the way. You rascal. How dare you be old and decrepit. Get out of my sight. So the conception of pious activities is more or less, if I give a dollar to a bum who's going to get some, you know, alcohol, I'm a good person. Or I give some money to the, you know, some charity organization and they serve poor people chicken, I think I'm doing a good thing. Because the person who's getting fed the chicken, he's going to become a chicken. And the person who's giving the money so that the person gets fed a chicken, he's also going to become a chicken. So maybe there's not enough chickens in Australia, but they're helping. But that's not really pious activity. But pious activity, giving for Brahmins, giving to Vaishnavas, building, performing, you know, giving, contributing for sacrifices. The Vaishyas would provide the ghee, like Naina Maharaj. When Kamsa told him to come along with Krishna and Balaram to Mathura to celebrate the wrestling match and the sacrifice of the bow of Shiva, he invited all the Vaishyas. Then they came with their contribution. What was their contribution? They didn't go to the local ATM and withdraw some money so they could pay the taxes. No, they brought yogurt and ghee and butter and milk products. So Kamsa obviously did think, you know, when he got the milk products, wait a second, they don't know I'm a vegan? What am I going to do with all these milk products? Don't you know that when you grow up you're not supposed to drink milk anymore? It's bad for your cholesterol. No, that was what the king expected, because with the ghee and other milk they could perform sacrifice, the Brahmins. And by sacrifice, the demigods would become satisfied. And all, as Krishna says, they provide all the necessities to man. And what are the necessities? They didn't rain down iPads and iPods and Mac computers. That Indra, he got a special IT expert in Indraloka. Now he provides Macintoshes to those who perform sacrifice. And for those who are less pious, he gives them PCs. No, he just provides them by performance of sacrifice. One gets rain. And with rain, we can get some nice food. The Hare Krishnas are not famous for their philosophies so far, in Australia especially. They're not famous for their dress or their hairstyle. They're just famous for their food, because actually that's what people are missing. They're not missing Krishna so much as they're missing good food. Actually, what they're missing is Krishna, but first of all, they meet Krishna, especially here in Australia, in the form of ghee and butter and other milk products offered to Krishna, of course. What people really want, first of all, is something to eat. If they're not satisfied with eating something, there's no other way that they're going to be satisfied. And if one is eating nicely, then he can become peaceful and he can sleep nicely. And then one will be able to have nice relationships with other people. He can feel somewhat comfortable and satisfied. And then one will actually feel some security, because people, if they are together, then there's some security. If everyone's fighting with each other, how can you feel secure? Therefore, in the Vaishyas, they knew the art of growing food and protecting the cows. And this was sufficient to provide the necessities of life for men. They knew that the food didn't just pop out of the ground by throwing some seeds. It also needed some water. And the water wasn't going to come unless they performed sacrifice. Therefore, they happily, joyfully gave part of their income to the Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas, they knew they were going to reign in the kingdom as long as they performed sacrifice. And that this lifetime was not all, and that unless they performed sacrifice, they were going to become degraded. Just like Krishna, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the city because he was a Brahmin. He brought everyone, people gave him contributions. So he went to collect some offerings from the local citizens. He came upon one Brahmin who was an astrologer, and he asked him, "Who was I in my last life?" So the Brahmin was very pious. He was a great astrologer. And he could just by meditation. So he sat there in meditation, and suddenly he saw a boar lifting the earth out of the ocean. And then he saw a fish in the water of devastation. And then he saw a tortoise with a big golden mountain on its back. So he thought, "Well, I'm having a bad day." Doesn't look like this person was an animal in his last lifetime. He seems pretty pious. He said, "Well, I can't concentrate right now. Maybe you can come back tomorrow and I'll see if I can do something I can concentrate better." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry, I know you're having a bad day. But just try and concentrate one more and see what would happen." Then he saw a half lion, half man, and he said, "Oh, this is getting worse." Then he saw another man with an axe, and he was cutting off everyone's head, and he said, "Wow, this is really..." I thought it was a bad day, but this is one of the worst. Then he saw a man with a bow and arrow, and he saw a beautiful lady, and a monkeys, and it's getting a little bit better. Then he said, "Oh, I know who this person was." So he said, "I know who you were. You were the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your last lifetime." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, you're wrong." He said, "I know who I was in my last lifetime. In my last lifetime, I was a cowherd boy, and I was herding cows. And because of the pious activity of herding cows, in this lifetime I was born as a Brahmin." Prabhupada writes in the purport, this shows how important cow protection is. So what to speak of the Kshatriyas, the so-called leaders of society. Kshat means to protect. They're supposed to protect the citizens, especially from sinful activities. And what to speak of those who are supporting passing laws to make sure that animal slaughter goes on, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, that these things are propagated throughout the whole country. So such leaders, they're certainly getting a proportion of sinful reactions from their followers. We can perform so many sinful reactions, activities. But if you become a leader and you have millions or hundreds of millions of people underneath you, and you're performing, you're supporting sinful activities, just you get one quarter of their sinful reaction. So try to figure out that. As somebody, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you eat a cow, that for every hair on the cow that was slaughtered, you have to go to hell for 1,000 years. And nowadays they made cows that have more hair than ever. So multiply that by hundreds of millions, and there are billions and trillions of hairs. So more or less, you get a permanent place in hell. You become one of the senior residents after. They give you your own special private hell. You're seeing your most demons. So Kshatriyas, they know that if I don't properly direct the society, then I'm going to get into a lot of trouble. Because they hear from people who actually know how the material nature works, the Brahmins. And the Brahmins know that whatever I do in the material world, I'm just going to waste my time because I'm a spiritual being. Therefore, I should do something to liberate myself from the material conception of life so I can actually experience spiritual awareness. Prabhupada said the topmost kanista adhikari is the pure Brahman. Therefore, kanista adhikari is a rather elevated personality. The example of the topmost kanista adhikari are the four kumaras, not some insignificant devotees. Oh, here comes the four kumaras. Don't even associate with them. They're kanista adhikaris. Don't contaminate yourself. Of course, eventually the four kumaras, they went to Vaikuntha and they smelled the tulsi and the sandalwood paste at the lotus feet of Krishna, and their hearts became purified and they became pure devotees. But before that, they were impersonalists. But they were devotees. They had some conception of Narayan. Impersonalists are not necessarily Mayavadis. They just don't think that, they think that perhaps better than meditating on Krishna is to meditate upon Brahman. They also think Krishna is spiritual, but they don't think he's superior to Brahman. But they became pure devotees. The topmost, the example of these, of the inquisitive persons are the sages of Namasharanya, inquiring about from Shonaka Rishi, the pure Brahman. Or Sutta Goswami, Shonaka Rishi. Sutta Goswami, who became a pure devotee by hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, he spoke to the sages of Namasharanya, who were inquisitive, jignasa. Therefore, there are different stages of devotional service. Gajendra is the example of someone in distress. I'm sorry. Yeah. And Dhruva Maharaj is an example of someone who's looking for some real estate. He went to his local real estate agent, or who happened to show up, Narada Muni, inquiring about how he can get some, you know, rather large property, what he had to pay for. So he had to pay a big price, but he was willing to pay for it. And he's still getting interest on his investment. Price of Vaikuntha is constantly going up, so it's a good investment. These four personalities represent the ideal personalities who eventually come to the topmost platform. Therefore, every devotee, at the beginning we come out of distress, but then we should try to understand how to act piously, how to cooperate. Shudras, they have no other interests except for their own interests. And Vaishyas realize that we must cooperate at least to get the necessities of life. We must cooperate not only with each other, but we must cooperate with the authorities. The good quality of the Shudra is he's submissive. Therefore, to find a bona fide Shudra nowadays is rather difficult. Because those who are Shudras and they're not submissive, they're called Mudhas. And those who are interested in economic development but don't know what economic development is, they take it as the opposite. They take sinful activities as economic development. They're called Naradhamas. They rose a little bit above the Shudras by taking part in pious activities in their previous life. But now they're misusing their advantageous his position, and instead of utilizing it for sacrifice or Vishnu, they utilize it to cheat the other, the Shudras. That's called Naradama. They seem to have culture, but their culture is that of lower than the animals. And those who have risen above, who have become more pious in their previous lifetimes, but, and they try to perform pious activities, but they decided to eventually enjoy it for themselves and control everyone else, they become Maya Prita Gyan, because they've risen to the platform of Jignasu. Those who are Vaishyas, who are performing sacrifice, giving their ghee and their grains and paying the taxes to the government for sacrifice, and seeing that the Kshatriyas, how they're living in very opulent palaces and how they're controlling everyone, so they want to become, instead of, well, they want to get some happiness in that way also. So then they, if they're not properly directed by the Brahmins, then the next lifetime they become interested in exploiting everyone by their knowledge. By their superior abilities and knowledge, therefore they try to bewilder others so they can take advantage of them. So they become Maya Prita Gyanas instead of actually becoming protectors of society. Because society is protected not so much for the, as they say, the pen is mightier than the sword. Society is ultimately directed not simply by the armies, but it's directed by knowledge. People will only fight in your army if they think they're fighting for their interests. And people's interests will either be on the material platform or on the spiritual platform. Therefore, the leaders of society, more or less, are directed by the persons who are preachers, the teachers of society. So if the teachers tell the people controlling society that the aim of life is to exploit everyone, then they're simply being misdirected by the Vaishya mentality, that everyone becomes a Vaishya, or not a Vaishya, everyone becomes a Naradama. So the modern society is 99% Shudras being misdirected by the sinful Naradamas. Not exactly Shudras, more or less Mudhas, being misdirected by the Naradamas, with a few crazy Maya Prita Gyanas and Asram Bhavamashikas directing everyone else. In other words, big, big demons directing littler mental speculators who are trying to control everyone, directing the Vaishyas who are exploiting everyone, and directing the Mudhas, who are completely bewildered. They don't know, they just want something to eat, place to sleep, and then they're, and a good football game. And everything's cool. Their team wins. So modern society is more or less degraded into an animal kingdom with a few big animals, more or less controlling the other animals. But actually, life is meant to hear knowledge, real knowledge from real persons who know the truth, and then everyone else is supposed to follow it. The Kshatriyas know, they know that everything here belongs to Krishna, therefore Jagga Vai Vishnu, sacrifice has to be performed. They control the society so that everyone is participating. Those who are producing things, their produce, whatever they're producing, is used in sacrifice, and their assistants are engaged in this sacrifice also, to support sacrifice. Then the society becomes peaceful, people get something to eat, their senses are controlled so they don't become greedy. Instead, they're able to hear from the Brahmins and from the devotees and make some spiritual advance. And eventually, they can go back to the spiritual kingdom. Pandu is, they executed in the past lifetime, many past lifetimes, pious activities. In this lifetime, they had become, they were already perfect devotees. And they directed the kingdom in a perfect way. And therefore, to set the perfect example, at the perfect time, they retired, went to the Himalayas in perfect Krishna consciousness, and went perfectly back to the spiritual kingdom. And therefore, we can read about them here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the most important thing is that they concentrated their mind, they took to the process, they showed the process by which they could concentrate their minds upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the goal, to meditate in trance upon Lord Krishna. Not just to regulate our sinful activities so that we suffer less distress. In other words, regulating sinful activities also means that we're following the principles, hopefully, at least externally, but we're not 100% internally following the principles. But at least we're regulating externally and trying to regulate internally also. Wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering, unsteady nature, we try to bring it back under the control of the self. Then one can actually understand, one's mind has become clarified, what actually pious activities are, physically and mentally, how we can think properly, our minds become into order, we get out of being completely a mad person. Stop raving mad person. Or in other words, a respectable citizen of modern society. Our minds become a little clarified. We know actually what's to be done, what's not to be done. At least from the material point of view, we know what's good and what's bad, what's healthy and what causes sickness. We know what causes distress, what causes happiness. We follow it. So that's called performing pious activities. And then one can learn tolerance, because in the material world, there's always problems. So rather than falling into excessively trying to enjoy or successively trying to react against every single threat that may come upon us, every single insult, one learns some tolerance. So one is able to remain steady in spite of any kind of problems or any kind of excessive gain that one gets. One doesn't become overboard. One becomes tolerant and remains steady on the path towards self-realization. At that point, one can actually become a devotee of Krishna. One can accept the fact that the goal of life is to become Krishna conscious, and one is actually trying to fix the mind upon Krishna and not worrying about gain or loss, profit or fame or ill fame. One doesn't worry about these things. One worries whether one is making progress in Krishna consciousness. Then, with such an attentive mind, trying to actually hear from persons who are superior how to make further progress, one can gain positive knowledge of the personality of Godhead, pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One actually becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Then, as one realizes progressively more and more the wonders of devotional service, it becomes completely absorbed in ecstasy at every moment, ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Prahlad Maharaj said, or we can compare it to, the happiness, the maximum happiness on this earth planet, if you multiply it 1,000 times, it equals to the happiness on Indraloka. And if you multiply the happiness in Indraloka 1,000 times, it equals to the happiness on Marhaloka. And if you multiply that 1,000 times, it equals to the happiness on Siddhaloka. And if you multiply that 1,000 times, it equals to the happiness on Brahmaloka. And if you multiply that 1,000 times, it equals to the happiness in Brahman. And if you multiply that 100 billion times, it doesn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So we can sit here for a little while and try and imagine what the happiness in the ocean of devotional service is. those who are actually merged in that happiness, they can't even perceive that there's any misery in the material world. Purnam Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. Everyone looks like they're ecstatic and joyful, except for themselves, because they're missing Krishna. And if they perceive any so-called happiness, they just think, oh, this person is feeling distress because he's feeling the separation from Krishna. And I wish I could feel so much separation from Krishna. I wish I was so advanced. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. They see the whole world is ecstatically feeling separation from Krishna. And there's even one drop of misery can't even approach them from yojanas away. They're so ecstatic. They're just trying to cut through the ocean of bliss to get from one place to the next. So that's pure devotional service. And we attain that, then we can go back to the spiritual world and never think about coming back here again, wherever we are now. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Sit in your room, take everything out of the room, and just turn on a light, sit there for a while. It's rather boring. Because even one thought, one material thought, moves you back in the material world again. It's that. As soon as you think about something that you'd like to experience, then immediately you're here to experience it. Krishna puts you right back. And they stay there for billions of years, so long, trillions of lifetimes of Brahma. So just think about how difficult it is to get there. And how easy it is to fall back. Any other questions? There. Someone have a question? Or is that so and so? Yes. How can we get out of this? Most people are shudras. Kalos, sudras, sambhava. Everyone is shudra in Kali Yuga. There may be one or two Brahmins by the mercy of Krishna consciousness movement. But otherwise, everyone is either a Shudra with a few scattered here and there, so called Vaishyas, trying to exploit them. How to get out of it? Chant Hare Krishna. It's the only way. Kalo Nide. Kalo Deoshe Nide Rajan Yasti Eka Mahadunan Kirte Eva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Parambuja. Chant Hare Krishna and actually call out to Srimati Radharani with attention and love, asking to engage in their service. Then they'll bring us from the Shudra platform. They'll give us more and more knowledge and awareness. We'll go through the different modes of nature, and eventually we'll become pure devotees of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. That's the only way in this age. And everything else is to help them. Help us chant offenselessly Hare Krishna. Which essentially means gives us the ability to associate with Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their eternal associates in the spiritual world. Gives us direct association with them by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.